That's right. Yeah. Ricardo's rules of resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
5'2", 105 pounds. I love it. It's such a good challenge. I promise you. Anyone can push a sled. Anyone can carry two dumbbells and do a farmer's carry. You know, anyone can do a nice little run at whatever pace that may be, right? A run, walk, jog. So, yeah, I love hybrid fitness. I preach it all the time.
You sound like a convert, man. Any good thing can become a bad thing when it starts to take over. And it becomes really our identity gets wrapped up in it.
It's about your heart, your willpower, your grit, and being young, playing sports, playing hockey, being the shortest on the ice, you're out there and you're being headhunted.
If you don't do more than you get paid for, you'll never get paid for more than you do. Welcome, everybody, to Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast that gives you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, young man, young elite racer, Zach Saigon. Zach has some incredible accolades as a racer. He recently, which is where I got to see you, at the Midwest Deck of Fit, won that event, and then the next day after winning it, decided you were going to take on the Ultra, so race the Ultra, got first place there. And also in the Hyrox world, you've really shown out, second place at Hyrox Boston, and a first place podium for your age group at both Chicago and Miami. Zach, that's really impressive, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Zach, if you would you please just tell our listeners the brief overview, as we say, the elevator pitch of who is Zach Saigon?
So I'm 20, so 2 years out of high school. I've been a coach for 3 years at a gym in Naperville, Illinois. I coach group training. I specialize in hybrid fitness training. I am the head Hyrox coach at my gym, RevFit Naperville. They are a Hyrox affiliate, so I program all of the Hyrox classes. I like to throw in some DECA in there, some Hyrox, Deadly Dozen, if you've heard of that, a new hybrid fitness race coming up. Lots of hybrid fitness. So my background, I've been in fitness since I was about 9. Started with ice hockey. Played that till about high school. But through ice hockey, I found CrossFit for off-ice training, just get better, be a better athlete. Freshman year of high school, I was about 14. JV captain, captain of the JV team, decided to quit hockey after that year because I was too busy skipping practice and going to the CrossFit gym. Yeah, so I had my priorities straight at the time. Yeah, so I was doing CrossFit, did that for about 3 years. Then I found OCR, obstacle course racing, Spartan races. Done a lot of local Spartans out here in the Midwest. A lot of local races like Frontline OCR, if you've heard of that. Great race they do every Memorial Day in Illinois, and it's to honor veterans and stuff. I do the endurance race. I podiumed. I didn't do it this year because I was focused on hybrid training, but the past 2 years before that, I did it. I got second my first year doing endurance and first the second year, so that was like 18 miles of fun and obstacles and mud. And then the past 2-3 years here, I found Hyrox, DECA, and hybrid fitness. And I love it because I feel like anyone can do it, no matter what your background is, any size, shape, whatever. You know, I'm a shorter athlete, 5'2", 105. I love it. It's such a good challenge, and I love it more in CrossFit. I wish I would have found it before CrossFit because it's a lot safer. And like I said, anyone can do it. You know, if you got a guy who's been on the couch since high school and he was a football player in his glory days and he hasn't picked up a weight since high school, he could do it. And he won't throw out his back and he won't get hurt, I promise you. You know, anyone can push a sled. Anyone can carry two dumbbells and do a farmer's carry. You know, anyone can do a nice little run at whatever pace that may be, right? A run, walk, jog. So, yeah, I love hybrid fitness. I preach it all the time.
You sound like a convert, man. That's great. I love the passion. So you brought up your size at 20 years old to be 5'2 and 120 pounds. That's definitely on.
105. I'm even lighter. That 15 makes a difference. Pounds.
Yes, it did.
I wish I was 120.
Yeah, you're shooting for
those sleds.
Right?
Those sleds would move a lot differently in high rocks if I was.
Yeah, they would. So, yeah, I mean, at 105 pounds, at 5'2", as a 20-year-old man, that has some difficulties. That presents its challenges in life. And I appreciated your willingness to come on and just talk about how you face those challenges.
It's by your heart, your willpower, your grit, and being young, playing sports, playing hockey, being the shortest on the ice. You're out there, and you're being headhunted, it's called in hockey. Anyone's gonna go at you. Anyone's gonna hit you, and you got to be able to stand your ground and have that firm base and be confident and believe in yourself. When I was playing hockey when I was younger, I would always, no matter what, the size of the other player, I would go at him full force. Grit, effort, and no matter their size, I'd always go against them, and I was never afraid. I had that determination out there on the ice. And I remember one year, I made Central States in hockey, which is the highest level. Like I said, I started hockey when I was 9. That's very late for a hockey player. Late bloomer in hockey, honestly. Most kids grow up on skates. And I remember that year I made Central States, and the coach told me, he said, "You know why you're on this team? I know you're not a goal scorer like these other kids. They're all scoring goals and doing crazy dangles, and they're puck hogs. They hold on to the puck. You're on this team because you got grit and determination and effort. And I need that out of all these kids, but you got it. And you're a leader, And I'm like, man, I this stays with me. I'm 20 now, and I still remember that. Like, that's a big deal. And my dad taught me at a young age, it's all about your effort, your willpower, and your grit and determination when overcoming the odds. I'm always at a disadvantage because of my height, but I never use that as an excuse in life. I always push through, I always prevail, and I always find a way. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, imagine you taking some grief about your size over the years.
All the time, I get a lot of smack about it, I'm at races all the time. How old are you? I'm like, now I play the guessing game. I'm like, guess. And, on a good day, I get 16. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I'm 20. I'll take 16 all day. On a bad day, I get 12. And I'm like, that is crazy. 12? I'm like, 12, you're still in, like, middle school, elementary school. I'm like, come on now, I don't think a middle school or elementary school would be doing a Hyrox or a Deca,
Yeah, right. So,
they don't even start the races till like 14, 16, Come on.
And you've just won the thing and they're guessing 12.
Yep. So, yeah, I'll be 21 in May. So, I'm going to get it the rest of my life. And, I make it work. I wear it on my sleeve. It represents me, and it's my life, my reality, and I make it work. And honestly, I'm grateful for who I am and how I am and how I was raised and came into this world and how I look. It's a good... It catches people's attention.
You've had some difficulties coming up in your growing up years, addictions, things like that, shaped you and having to overcome those. Tell our listeners a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, addiction is a big thing in my family, in my life. I really struggle with a workout addiction. I work out too much. It is my everything, though. A lot of people have told me, it's a good addiction to have. It's perfectly fine. I mean, it is, but it's also not, because any addiction, anything in a surplus amount is too much, right? And it overcomes, it consumes your life, and your reality. My mom was, she was AA, so, she leads by example. She was alcoholic, for a long time, and 25 years recovered. My dad was NA, so he was drugs, and he's 25 years also, so before I was born, but still, that takes a lot of hard work, determination, and grit, just like we were talking about with my size, to, overcome that. And, I'm dealing with that currently, my own addiction of working out and exercise. There's a lot of days where I just find myself in the gym too much, and it's very consuming. And, I think it's the only way for me to shut off my brain and the outside world and to put my head down and work hard. And it's the only thing I know, you know, and it's my reality. But anything's an addiction if it's a surplus, if it's too much. But seeing my parents as role models and how they overcame that, they taught me at a young age, work hard for what you want in life. You know, don't let anyone shoot you down. Prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. Be better. Always be better. Always strive for greatness. That's like always sticked with me. And don't let your addictions define you. You know, my parents always used to tell me that, you know. And growing up here, you know, I'm in my 20s. This is the most important part of my life, 20s to 30s. It's going to be a big change. You know, 5 years from now, I'm going to be totally different. 10 years from now, I'm going to be even more different. Hopefully, I'll have a career and stability and stuff. But, you know, I know working out will always be in my life because it is. Yeah. It's my everything. But you can't let it control your life, right? So.
But really, any good thing can become a bad thing when it starts to take over. And it becomes really our identity gets wrapped up in it. Because I have to have it, now I'm a slave to it. Because I have to have this for me to feel good about myself. And so I'm not the one in control anymore.
And there's a lot of days I feel like that. You know, I feel like I'm a slave to the addiction of working out. And especially being a coach, you're in and out of a gym. You're at a gym, you know, you'll find yourself at the gym for like 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours at night, and you're like, oh, I'm here again, you know, I'm gonna work out again. It's like some days I'm better than others. I'm like, no, you did a bunch of training this morning, don't do it again.
What do you think shaped you the most? Like you've talked about this hard work, grit, determination. What do you think shaped that in you the most?
I think part of the reason is my dad. He would always just believe in me and, you know, tell me you could do anything if you put your mind to it and you work hard. And just maturity. I grew up really fast, you know, honestly, as short as I am and how as young as I look, I got years on other people my age, man, and wisdom, to be honest, not to toot my own horn, but like with my parents, with them leading by example with, you know, their addiction and just, you know, teaching me about responsibility and how to be mature, you know. My dad taught me at the young age, probably of like 8 or 6, how to shake a hand properly, you know, and firm grip, look someone in the eyes, you know, all that stuff. And I remember growing up playing hockey, I'd shake the other parents' hands, look them in the eyes, and they'd be like, my kid doesn't even know how to do that. They have a soft handshake. Like, what are you teaching this kid? My dad, he's like, well, I'm teaching how to get far in life. Like, and I was actually talking about this last night at the gym coaching with one of the members, and how kids nowadays, you know, they don't know how to shake hands and look someone in the eyes and have some respect and maturity. It's an important thing. It's an important skill. And at the same time, maybe I grew up a little bit too fast, but, like, it's who I am. I'm very grateful for it.
It's serving you well. It's the main thing. So how does that affect your coaching of clients? I mean, surely, I know all of us as coaches, we have clients that you don't have to do too much for. They get on pretty well. You just encourage them a little bit here, give them a little guidance there. But then there's the ones that need a little more of us speaking into their life, and that's okay. That's why they have us. But how does it affect you? The things that you have learned and, you know, dealing with being a shorter athlete and the grief you've had to take, and how does that shape and affect your coaching of other people?
I think that's a wonderful question, especially being young and also being shorter and looking younger than you are. Like I said, I've been doing it for 3 years. So I started when I was 17, still in high school. My senior year, I started coaching, and then 2 years out, I've still been coaching. And I remember the first year as the hardest. You know, I remember my boss, the owner of the gym, literally saying, hey, you're going to have to work hard. And like, I know I'm taking a chance on having you coach here. I know adults are going to give you a hard time, but I believe in you. And I'm like, thank you. That's all I need. I'm going to live up to that expectation. I'm going to make it happen. And I remember first year I had this one adult come into class, you know, oh, how old are you? Well, you should be coaching. You're too young, blah, blah, blah. You know, you look like you're 12. He's laying into me. I'm like, you just shut that out. You put your head down, you work, you prove them wrong. Like, going back to racing, you You show them. And now, you know, year and a half later, like, oh, you're a great coach. You know, you're doing a great job. You know, they're always telling the owners how good I'm doing. You know, yeah. People have grown with me at the gym, and they've learned to get accustomed to it. And like, no, Coach Zach is really good. He actually knows what he's doing. He knows his stuff. He knows about Hyrox. He knows about racing. He knows how to program hybrid fitness classes, right? Just overcoming the odds, right? And like I said, proving them wrong. Working hard and grit and determination. And another thing I'd like to add, just like being 20 and being a head Hyrox coach at a gym, basically, and programming their hybrid fitness classes, that's a big responsibility. And I take a lot of pride in that. Like, that's impressive in my opinion. And I think that's so cool that I get to do that. It shows that I know what I'm doing.
I mean, obviously, as you said, he took a chance on you, but now you have earned the right to get even more. And, you know, and I tell people, I work with other guys in recovery, many of them very early on their recovery journey, you know, and so some of them are just putting their lives back together again after legal problems, or sometimes, you know, years in prison. Okay, this time I want it to stick. And we have the discussion, if you will just show up, if you'll just show up, do what you're supposed to do, and then just a little extra, like, and you don't have to be amazing, but just do what you're supposed to do. And then at that time when there's nothing to do and you want to reach in your pocket and pull out your phone and check it, instead, just find something else to do right then.
Yeah.
And you're going to, people are going to, that next opportunity is going to open up to you, you know. And so just by taking that opportunity and showing up and doing your best for it. And another thing that when I taught, I would teach my students, and I say to the guys in recovery, if you don't do more than you get paid for, you'll never get paid for more than you do. You know, you have to give that little extra. And when you do, eventually you're going to get paid more and you're going to get more responsibilities. And you've done it. You've stewarded it well.
Going back to that, I mean, another thing I'd like to add is like anybody in fitness, it's just a lot of people struggle with getting their foot in the door, right? Into gyms. And they're scared, they're nervous, anxiety, totally understandable. But it's all about just getting your foot in the door. I had a new guy yesterday, it was the second day. I'm like, hey, you're here. You got your foot in the door. That's the hardest part. We're gonna do it. We're gonna get it done. We're gonna work out for this hour. I'm here to support you. If we need to switch something for you to make this hour your hour, we're good. And then it's just day in, day out. Just keep getting the foot in the door. You know, it's like running. I love running. I'm super fast. I'm great at running. But like, the hardest part is the first step. Like, as much as I still love to run and I keep running every day, you know, if I wake up tomorrow and I want to go run, the hardest part is that first step. Like, even though I've been running for a long time, it's still hard.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what we talk about. One of the rules of resilience is that something's better than nothing. And if you just get started, and even if you're like, well, I'm going to have a miserable workout today. I know it's not going to be good. Or back to the world of addiction, I just really don't want to go to a meeting. I don't feel like it today. Whatever the thing is, if you will just do it badly, it's amazing how it could turn into something good. That run that starts with you dragging the first 5 minutes can end with a real bang if you just give it a shot.
You always feel better afterwards. I mean, with a workout, going to a meeting, going to get, you know, recovery, all that stuff to get better, to better yourself, right? Yeah. And like, even me, you know, I got injured back in April and went a little crazy because I couldn't work out as much. I couldn't work out for 1 week. It was crazy, you know, I lost it. So, you know, I started doing the right thing and I saw a therapist. I see him every week, every Wednesday. Biggest win in the past. In my life, that was a big win for me. That's a big step. And I go. There's some days where I'm, you know, driving there, or I'm not even in the car yet. I'm like, I don't want to go today. I don't want to do this. And then I go. I feel great afterwards. You know, I get some stuff off my chest, and I know where to keep moving forward and to get better with, you know, the workout addiction. Another thing I really struggle with is, especially as in my downfall, I tell people this all the time. My downfall as an athlete is my eating. I don't eat enough. I really struggle with eating. That's another thing, going back to my upbringing. My mom has a really bad eating disorder. I struggle with eating. I probably have an eating disorder or eating disorder tendencies. So that's my downfall, you know? So that's why I'm going to see a therapist to get better, to be a better me, be a better Zach, be a better athlete. And I remember doing ultra events in the past and being running or something, and my friends, yeah. Did you bring race nutrition? Did you bring race nutrition, Zach? No. I didn't bring race nutrition. This is a 30-mile race. Why didn't you bring race nutrition? What are you doing? Here, have this banana. Have this Rice Krispie treat. Blah, blah, blah. Have this Uncrustable. And I'm like, thanks. Like, it's like, yeah. That's how bad my eating disorder used to be. I'd self-sabotage like that. And now I look at endurance events that I do, like my DECA Ultra, I was fueling perfectly. I was eating when I needed to, enough. I was fueling well, hydrating well. And that's a big win for me. You know, yeah. And I hope the eating gets better. Just like we were talking about, getting your foot in the door, getting that first step. I've taken that first step. I've gotten my foot in the door. Now it's just all about hitting the ground running and keeping up the momentum. Some days you have bad days, though, right? Some days you take a few steps back. Some days you hit a wall, you get a little slowed down or something. Or you hit the assault bike and you get slowed down. You got to keep moving forward. Yeah, you gotta keep moving forward. So, you know, it's... Pain is temporary, or progress cannot always be linear. You know, it's up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, right? So, you know, you take your wins when you can.
You are the second high-level athlete in just a few weeks to specifically mention going to therapy.
It's awesome, yeah.
I'm really glad that athlete, you know, it used to be so taboo. It's like something people didn't want to admit to. But the fact that it's important to you as a high level performer, and it was important to Amber, who was on a few weeks ago, this has helped me to go and talk to someone and let people know, hey, go do it, you know, it's gonna help. Yeah. You know, not something to be ashamed of. It's something that's, you know, if your knees hurt, you go to the doctor, right? So go talk to somebody.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, for athletes in the fitness field, it's rough. A lot of athletes, they just put their head down and keep working. They avoid their problems. They kind of just push them down, suppress them. And I remember my first session with my therapist, he literally told me that. He's like, you know, oh, you're an endurance racer. You do these races. It makes sense why you're here, man. Like, makes sense why you have these problems. A lot of athletes do, you know? So it's, I feel like all athletes are just, they're running from something. So you gotta face it.
That's it.
Yeah, you gotta face it, or it becomes too much and eventually you get injured and then you're forced to face it, like I did, you know? Like, I should have went years ago in time, and I'm doing a lot better. And your mind is only, if your mind's not sharp, nothing's sharp, right? Your mind's gotta be good. You gotta take care of your mind. And it's another thing, you know, I started reading. I used to never read. I was terrible in high school. I was never in class. I was always ditching school and going to the gym or running. So that tells you about my addiction and how big it is, right? Yeah. I probably haven't read a book since freshman year. And yeah. I've read 4 books since April, cover to cover. That's a big deal for me. So, right on. I mean, that's a big deal. So yeah. You got to take care of your brain. Not that's just right. Your body.
That's right. And I mean, if you want your people, your athletes that are coming to you for coaching, you want them to grow, you want them to do the uncomfortable things. Well, we got to do the uncomfortable things too.
Yep, me reading, that was me doing something uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And now I love it. Now yeah. I do it at least 5 times a week.
Right on. Well, I'm curious to know, are we going to be seeing you at the DECA World Championship in Florida this year?
Yes, I actually just signed up for the fit, so I'm doing the DECA World, so I'll be at the doing the fit for age group, not elite yet, hopefully, you know, I'm going to keep working, but so I'll be in the under 24 age group for the DECA fit. Haven't gotten my email yet for the Strong and Mild that comes out on Monday the 6th, but I will be doing that. I should have qualified. I mean, unless the leaderboard has changed, which it hasn't. But yeah, so I plan on doing all 3 events.
Right on. Well, it'll be great to see you down there again in person and see you compete. If people want to get to know you better, hear more of your story, or connect with you as a coach, how would they do that?
Find me on social media at Z Saigon. That's my Instagram handle. I'm on TikTok too. I think my TikTok is the same account, you know, but mostly Instagram. I've been trying to post more. I had a reel just blow up on Instagram. I got like 1,300 likes. So that's insane, like, to me. I'd even try with the post. Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm posting the post. I did my race, you know. I'm like, why is this blowing up? It's got like almost 100 comments. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So I guess people are interested in me and my story. And I guess I should capitalize on that and share my story more and be more open and hopefully help others. Like, I mean, I had people commenting, you know, I'm a shorter athlete too. I weigh this much. I'm super nervous about my first High Rocks, my first event. I'm like, just do it. And I tell people all the time, just have fun. I mean, yeah, it's hard stuff, but just have fun with it. If you have fun and you have a good mindset going into it, you're going to do great. You're going to exceed your expectations. That's my honest opinion. Let that worry and anxiety rule your life. Like, I used to do that all the time before races. It was never fun, and I would always do bad, you know? Now it's just like, it's just a workout. This is a workout I pay for, and I get a medal and a shirt afterwards, and I get cool pictures, you know? So it's just a workout, you know? It's just another day in the office for me, and it's just, you know, it's a cool memory. It's also a memory. It's a, you know, it's a workout I will always remember.
Well, you know, the reverse is true, too, that I have... I probably have had some of these myself, but, you know, I'm instantly calling to mind other people who had really good performances at, you know, a DECA event or something else. And because it wasn't perfect, or because it wasn't quite what they wanted to have, their focus is on that gap of what they wanted rather than on the game. And by putting their eyes on that, they're just miserable. And so what could have been a fun memory and a good day and look, you know, I got this healthy body that allowed me to do this, instead became, well, I didn't quite get this, whether it's a PR or a place or whatever. And so, yeah, you're exactly right that when we have our eyes on what was good today, did I have fun today, you're making it fun, we can really lose out a lot, or we can gain a lot, just depending on how we're looking at it.
I had an athlete who was at High Rocks Boston with me. I had two athletes from my gym, and I could tell the one athlete was kind of beating himself up about his race. Oh, I could have done this better. I could have done this better. I'm like, bro, this is your first one. This is a baseline. We're going to do better in November at Chicago. We're going to do better the next time. We know what to do differently, and it's like, just have fun with it.
Right.
I look at my first DECA Strong I did probably when I was maybe 16, 15 now. I don't know, 5 years ago. My first DECA Strong was like 28, maybe 26 minutes.
Wow.
You know, now my DECA Strong's at 14 on the dot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's still not great, but it's great for my size and for me. Like, that's awesome that I could do that at my size. Like, you know, a lot of these guys who are putting up killer times, they're beasts and they're fully grown men, you know, and I'm doing 14 on the dot. So, like... But yeah, I remember my first DECA Strong. I was holding up I couldn't even lift up the dumbbells for the farmers. I was putting the 60-pound farmer carry on my quads and like squatting down and walking with it, you know? Because willpower, because I had that drive, I had that grit, and I wanted it, right? So like, just have fun with it, right? You know, I remember that experience like it was yesterday, you know? It defines me and my, where I'm going and where I've been and who I am.
So. Yeah, it definitely does define you, that grit, that determination. Yeah, it goes before you and speaks highly of you. Well, Zach, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, being willing to share openly and vulnerably today. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast that gives you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. Be resilient.
Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition is a very clean, very pure way for you to get all the nutrition you need. It doesn't matter if it's whey, that I'm holding right here. Creatine, daily multivitamins, fat burners, rest, sleep, anything you need. Very clean. It's very pure. But it doesn't just stop with how much it does for your body. This line of supplements was designed specifically to support the Envision La Fuente ministry in the country of El Salvador that takes disadvantaged youth and offers them a brighter future through education. Be a part of doing great things for your body and doing great things in the world. Triple R Nutrition. See in the show notes exactly the link to click on and get everything you need to help yourself and help the world be a better place. As always, if you need coaching in resilience or in your hybrid racing, get a hold of us. We love to hear from our listeners. Give us feedback on the show. You can reach out to me at coach.ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Molinax on Facebook.